ended. Peace. So when we use the word peace today, it usually means the absence of something. You children this morning, young people, have your mums or dads ever said to you, please give me 5 minutes peace? Give me 5 minutes peace. What does that mean? Well, it means 5 minutes of no demanding, 5 minutes of no arguing, no noise, 5 minutes of nothingness, 5 minutes of blissful nothing, 5 minutes of the absence of anything else, peace. But in the Bible, we need to understand that there's a lot more behind the meaning of the word peace than our use of it. The shalom in the Bible, peace, it's not just the absence of something annoying or bad. It's also the presence of something good and wonderful. It's not just no fighting, no arguing. It speaks about positive health and well-being, physical health, emotional health, spiritual health. It speaks of completeness and fullness and wholeness, not just the absence of something. It's the positive presence of good things. So the peace that's promised here, it means having an inner sense of strength and vitality. If you have this peace, it means that when trouble comes into your life, you're not broken by it. You don't go to pieces in the midst of trouble because you have this peace. And look carefully at the promise. You keep him in perfect peace. So it's more than just peace, it's perfect peace here. And literally in the Hebrew, it says peace, peace. Shalom, shalom. It's the Old Testament's way of emphasizing the quality of this peace. It's a perfect peace, it's saying. It's total, it's complete. This peace extends to every compartment of your life. In other words, no matter what happens to you, you can have this peace. Now, it's not saying that you're waltzing through life with a serene smile on your face, carefree. But it's saying that in the midst of life, you're able to stand. With all of the tears and all of the trials, you're not falling apart because you have this perfect peace. And it's all the more certain, isn't it, when we think of when Isaiah says this song is going to be sung. He says, on that day, this song will be sung. The day of judgment, the last day, the end of the world. That'll be a day of global cosmic upheaval. And he says, even on that day, with everything else that'll be going on, God's people will have perfect peace. And if that's true for that day, surely we can experience God's peace here and now as well. It's the peace that God's only begotten Son had and knew as his own. He's the one that Isaiah described as the Prince of Peace, Isaiah 9:6. It was this peace Jesus promised to his disciples. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. John 14:27. So what is this promised peace? It's way more than the Oxford English Dictionary definition. So I ask you this morning, do you know anything of this peace? Do you not want this peace in your life? Do you not want to experience this peace more and more? Are you sitting here today saying to yourself, oh, that peace was mine. Oh, that it was my experience. Well, let's think secondly, how can we get this promised peace? So what is the promised peace? How can we get this promised peace? Now, if you're a child of God this morning, I need you to know this peace is yours already. You have it. You have it. At your conversion, God blessed you with every spiritual blessing in Christ. This peace is part of the fruit of the Spirit in your life. You're in the city of God. You already own this perfect peace. But it may be that you haven't yet entered into the fullness of it. We're sort of like the person driving along in their car during a heat wave and completely unaware that there's air conditioning in the car. The heat is sweltering inside. They open the window and it's only more warm air that comes into the car. They're driving along desperate for some relief. If only they reach down and press the AC button. That's what life is like for many of us in the Christian life. We have access to this perfect peace. It's there for us, but we're just not availing of it. So the question for many of us this morning then is, how can we experience this perfect peace more and more in our lives? Well, look at the promise. Immediately we should be encouraged. One of the things we see from the outset, we don't work this up from within ourselves. It comes from God. Verse 3, you keep him in perfect peace. He keeps you in perfect peace. That word keep, it means to guard or to protect or to maintain. It's a military word of protecting a camp or a castle. In other words, you can't keep yourself in perfect peace. It's God's responsibility. This peace, it's a protective gift from him. There's no secret formula to it. It's not something that gradually comes through years of Christian experience. It's a gift. It's a gift of God's grace. He keeps you in perfect peace. Saying that, even though it's a gift, even though it comes from God, there is still something you and I have to do in order to receive it. It's a little bit like salvation in that sense. Salvation, it's a free gift of God's grace. But the sinner still has to exercise faith and reach out and call on the name of the Lord. What do we have to do to receive this peace? The promise tells us, you keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Isaiah says, you've got to keep your mind stayed on the Lord. You've got to trust in the Lord. Now, you might have heard of a mainstay. A mainstay, that's a rope that connects the mast to a ship. So you have this mainstay that connects the mast to the ship. It keeps the mast secure. It helps the whole ship to keep sailing smoothly. A mainstay. And it's a similar idea here. Isaiah is saying our minds, like a mast, need to be secured to something. They need to be tied on to something that helps us to sail through life. Our minds, he says, need to be stayed on the Lord. He's referring here to your whole mindset, your whole way of thinking. You could say your mindset needs to be stayed in the Lord. Your whole worldview needs to be tied onto him. In other words, we're not to stay our minds in the world. You don't attach your way of thinking to the way the world thinks. If you want to be kept in perfect peace, you stay your mind on the Lord. You trust in him, the sovereign ruler of the universe. The creator, the sustainer of everything. The person who has their mind stayed on the Lord, that's someone who remembers the Lord is in control. He's in control of everything that happens. They're the opposite of what James describes. James 1, 6 to 8. He speaks of the double-minded man. The double-minded man who is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Let me ask you, as I ask myself, is your mind stayed on the Lord? Do you believe? Do you trust that He's in control of everything that happens in your life? All that happens, the big things, the small things, the good things, the bad things, every detail, part of His plan. You've got to stay your mind on that. You've got to tie your mindset, as it were, to that truth. I read John Piper saying something similar this morning. Plunge your mind into the ocean of God's sovereignty. Isn't that good? Plunge your mind into the ocean of God's sovereignty. And it's more than just believing God's in control of things. Often that's not the problem for many of us. Often we're okay with that in our heads. God's in control of this. Often that's the okay bit. But it's more than that. It's believing that, it's remembering that He's controlling these things for our good. For our good. Romans 8, 28. We know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. That's what our mind is to be stayed on. The fact that God rules over everything that comes into your life, and whatever comes into your life, it's for your good. There's no limits to His rule. He's never helpless. He's never frustrated. He's never at a loss. Whatever He pleases, He does. Psalm 135, verse 6. He works all things according to the counsel of His will. Ephesians 1, verse 11. That's a secret to this peace. Holding on to this truth, fixing your mind on it, staying your mind on it. Whatever's in store for you this week, if your mind is stayed on the sovereign Lord, if you're trusting in Him, He'll keep you in perfect peace. Please don't misunderstand. It doesn't mean for a moment everything is going to be pleasant or easy. Sometimes the waves will batter and bash the mast. But if our thinking is tied securely to this, we can trust that every wave, it's ultimately for our good. It's ultimately helping us to our final destination. Everything that happens is from our Heavenly Father, who knows what's best for us, loves us perfectly. We hold on to that. We fix our mind on that. Too often we fix our mind on the circumstances. That's the thing we fixate on. That's the thing we obsess over, our circumstances, instead of staying our mind on the Lord. And we end up losing our bearings and losing our peace. What are we to do when disappointment hits? When your exam results aren't as good as you'd hoped? Some of our young people getting results this week. What's your mindset to be as you get your results? You stay your mind on the Lord. You trust in Him. No matter what your results, He's working all things for your good. And He'll keep you in perfect peace. In the face of a life-changing diagnosis, He'll keep you in perfect peace. You keep your mind on this, some event which in the blink of an eye changes everything forever. It's not that you're not shaken, it's not that you don't weep, but instead of sinking into despair and self-pity and bitterness, He keeps you with this calm steadiness, this inner oneness that's totally different from the world. You have shalom. That job application that's turned down, that business opportunity doesn't pan out the way you'd hoped. You stay your mind on the Lord. You tie your thinking to this. When our children aren't developing as we would love them to, emotionally, physically, mentally, most of all spiritually, you fix your mind on the God who does all things well. when a relationship breaks up, a Christian can have this peace. Yes, of course, they're devastated. But they don't go to bed for a week and numb themselves with comfort eating. They fix their mind. They trust in Him who keeps them in perfect peace. Even if the worst imaginable disaster should happen to you, the Christian can be kept in peace if their mindset is stayed on the Lord. Let Him do what seems good to Him. Shall not the judge of all the earth do what is right? He is always good. And you can know this inner oneness in the midst of troubling circumstances. Christ had this, didn't He? The Lord Jesus. His mind at all times stayed on the Lord. He trusted in Him. In all His temptations, in all His challenges, in all His afflictions, in all His sufferings, even the suffering of the cross, way worse than your sufferings. Even there, the Lord kept Him in perfect peace because Christ's mind was stayed on the Lord. That's what we need to do as well, following our Savior's example. Friends, here's this promise. Every day, God is holding out to us that this perfect peace. Every day, we need to stay our mind on the Lord, trusting in Him. Some of us need to do that for the very first time. It would be utterly foolish of me this morning to assume that everyone here knows Jesus as their Savior. That everyone here has had the new birth of what the Scriptures speak about. Some of you haven't even yet begun to stay your mind on the Lord. You haven't yet trusted in Him. What about your peace? What about your peace? You need to listen to what Isaiah says later. Isaiah 57:21. There is no peace for the wicked, says my God. What about your peace? Oh, that all of us here this morning might now believe and trust in God, staying our minds on Him. That we would hear the Lord say to us, Shalom, shalom, peace.